Hello, this is the Trimmed Down podcast version of Tracks of My Life with me, Toby Davey. To catch all my guests' music tracks in full, do listen in to the hour-long version on RNIB Connect Radio every Tuesday at 7 p.m, repeated Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Hello, I'm Toby Davey and you're listening to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio. In Tracks of My Life, we invite a guest to select a few tracks that mean something to them and mark moments in their life. From maybe that first track they ever heard, right through to one track that they would like to pass on that might give hope for the future. My guest this week is Nigerian-born, London-based singer and acclaimed soprano, Victoria Awari. Hello, Victoria, and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. It's really lovely of you to invite me and I'm happy to be here.
Was it quite a tricky task just selecting 7 tracks for Tracks of My Life?
I think it was the trickiest thing I've ever done. I've never been good at summarising and I think I would probably need like 100 tracks in my life. And I had to make a decision about the tracks I picked because I decided to just pick things that were of significance to my life journey and also things that represented what really goes on a lot of the time in my mind when things, how I respond to things really.
And the first track that you've chosen, Victoria, I think marks a time when you were boarding a flight to New York. And as you say, the last time as a partially sighted child, where were you going from to New York? And why do you say it was the last time as a partially sighted child?
I was about six years old and I was boarding this flight with my sister. And I think it would have been like 20 years later that it dawned on me that I actually associate this song with the time I got on the plane, because that was the first time I heard that song. And I thought it was pretty apt that that song was playing when I was getting on the flight that was taking me to America to have several, further treatments on my eyes that would result in me losing my sight. And I just thought it was a pretty apt thing to have happened at that time. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? And it just, I mean, at the time when I heard it, I just, at the time I was feeling like, oh, I like this song. And I don't often like a lot of grown-up songs. As a child, I kind of liked my nursery rhymes and my Disney stuff. And this song, it struck me because of the chords and the piano and how very fluid and free everything was.
And was it sort of hard going to New York? Was it an experience, especially as somebody who's visually impaired? You know, I can imagine a big city and... Mm. I believe you grew up in Nigeria, so was it a bit of a sort of culture shock in a way?
No, I wouldn't say, because Nigeria, I was a city child in Nigeria, and I think New York and Lagos and Port Harcourt, where I lived as a child, they were very, very busy cities. You got into cars and you went into places and everywhere was just busy and industrial, you know, with all the, you know, tall buildings and offices and things like that along your way. So, and I as a child, I came to London a lot on holiday. So it wasn't a culture shock for me, no.
And the track that marks this particular flight to New York is a really sort of interesting track. Why have you chosen it?
Well, I've chosen it because of the words. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Getting on the plane, going to New York, I mean, I'd never been to New York before. I was excited and I liked being a little child on a plane. And in those days, you know, air hostesses used to be so free because there weren't all these restrictions. So they would come and talk to you. And I remember taking my teddy bear Ross with me and they gave him a seat. And I just thought it was really nice how they kind of pretended to talk to him when they kind of came and brought food. And they were like, oh, would Ross have some and this and that? And it was later as an older child, I realized they were just being nice and giving me an opportunity to have seconds if I wanted, because obviously Ross couldn't eat anything. So it was just a lovely, lovely flight. And the music, I think why I choose it is that it goes around and round in circles and it comes back to a very beautiful, restful place. So you hear in the sound the adventure, the movement and the turmoil, and then the fact that everything resolves itself in the end.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you-
Diana Ross Fair and Do You Know Where You're Going To? And what a lovely track too. Victoria, for your next track, you have chosen a piece of music which I think, if people hear the first couple of piano notes, they might recognise it. It's quite a romantic piece of music and takes people to various places and creates various images, I suspect, in people's minds. Yeah. What sort of images does this piece of music bring to you?
It takes me to a very beautiful place with fields and flowers and sunshine and just going on a stroll with someone very special. In my case, I think I think a lot about my partner, Carlison, who is my best friend. And it's very gentle and it travels and then comes back to being extremely gentle. And I think it just symbolizes the relationship I have with my partner and how it feels like having someone in my life that walks alongside me and supports me but isn't overbearing. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
And how did you and your partner meet?
We met on a dating website I think 6 years ago, and it's at a time when obviously you're going online and you're talking to someone you don't know and they have a pseudonym and you have a pseudonym, and it goes from there to having conversations as a person in person and getting to know each other as people. And it was a pretty tricky but exciting time in my life, and I feel like the first time we actually met in person was a very beautiful romantic experience in a lovely restaurant, and we had lots of lovely chats. We did actually go for a walk as well, so which was really lovely.
Would you be able to maybe describe those sorts of images that this piece of music brings to you?
Yes, the images I tend to see when I hear this piece of music, especially when the piano starts, I kind of imagine a beautiful river with water kind of, you know, lapping gently and then walking across fields. And then when the orchestra joins in, the field then bursts into this big garden of flowers and the sun is shining, the sky is there and there are birds flying. Everything is peaceful, but at the same time, everything is exciting and everything is possible. It's just a continuous wave of happiness and relaxation. And but then like a beautiful movie kind of comes to an end where everything kind of fades away. But at the same time, you still have something which is a lovely memory of that moment that you hold.
So Rhapsody on a Theme by Paganini there, and some wonderful memories and pieces of music that inspire images for you and everyone, I suspect, too. Victoria, for your next track, we are taken to a family holiday in the Caribbean and a moment of appreciation of nature for you, I think, when you woke up one morning and were hearing the wonderful sounds of nature around you. Would you be able to describe that feeling that you had that moment when you woke up?
Yes. I went on holiday with my family to a beautiful island in the Caribbean called Nevis. And it was the one place where I felt like I was totally in touch with nature. Everything about that place is very sensory. From the moment I got off the plane, I could feel that the air was different and my skin felt different against the air. And everything was just humid and warm. And the people are so lovely. And there was beautiful music, Caribbean music, as we got off the plane. And I was like, wow, I'm somewhere different. You know, it sort of tells you that you're somewhere different, even if you can't see the place. And I noticed that in that place, when you woke up in the morning, you actually did hear birds. Like I said, I grew up in Nigeria, but in the city, and everything was very city life in Nigeria. And to kind of go all the way to the Caribbean to get to see nature at its best was quite a wonderful experience. And I felt very grateful for that experience. And the Caribbean always holds a wonderful place in my heart. And I'm very happy that I'm in love with the Caribbean, which is a great thing.
And I think certainly during lockdowns, especially lockdown one last year, which was springtime as well, I think we all got closer to nature and, you know, with the wonderful sounds of the bird songs in the morning chorus and the smells of spring flowers and just the quietness of it all back then. And I think, you know, that's one thing which I think we've all got in the last 18 months. You know, things have been terrible, but I think people have got a lot closer to nature.
Yes, I did actually marvel at the sound of birds in London during the pandemic. It was quite a rare experience, I would say. It was wonderful.
And what is the piece of music that woke you up or wakes you up or marks this particular moment in your life?
It's titled Eye Adaba, which means the dove. And in that song, the composer, the singer, Asha, she was just reflecting about life and how she's grateful for a new dawn and a new day. And she was praying that a dove would descend on her. And I think it's kind of symbolic. She wants to experience peace and hope and the optimism that a new day brings.
Oh, chumati mami, milehi o. Oh, chumati ma, morire o.
Eye Adaba, or Dove there by Asha. And wonderful memories of a great holiday for you in the Caribbean. For your next track, Victoria, we are marking the time at Trinity for you. And I wondered if you could take me back to time at Trinity and maybe give me a bit of background as to how you got to Trinity.
I was destined by my family to train to be a lawyer until I discovered that I could actually formally train to be a musician. And this discovery I made at New College Worcester, where they had a very strong music department. And I was encouraged to explore my musical abilities. And I liked the fact that I could do singing lessons and piano lessons. Up until I was 18, my education was back in Nigeria, where everything was focused on my academic work. I was singing as a child as part of the primary school choir, but once I got into secondary school, all that stopped, and I was destined to go to be a lawyer. So it was great that I discovered that I could study music formally and sing, and New College gave me that opportunity, and I felt I wanted to grab it with both hands. So I auditioned and got into Trinity, and I noticed that we had masterclasses, and we attended, and I remember being in my second year at Trinity and attending a masterclass where a final year student who was in her fourth year sang this aria. And I came out of the masterclass weeping because I couldn't get it out of my head. And I thought, oh my goodness, when will I ever be able to sing something like that? I told my singing teacher about it, and he was a very sweet man, Mr. John Wakefield, God rest his soul, because he passed away in 2019. He encouraged me to follow my dreams and encouraged me to see the best in myself. And I would take new songs to him, and some of them he would say, well, you can't sing this now. You need to work a bit more on this and that and the other, and then you'll be able to sing that. So he said, okay, you'll be able to do this maybe by the end of your third year if you work hard and work towards it. So by the end of my third year, I still wasn't quite there, but I was determined that I would do this song in my final recital as a graduate. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but it did happen in my final year as a postgrad, and I got the opportunity to sing this song. This song, Che bel sono di Doretta, is from Puccini's opera La Rondine, and the character who sings it was telling a story about falling in love. She was a daughter of someone very noble in a town, and she fell in love with someone who her parents would probably deem inappropriate, who was a student, who kissed her and transformed her life. And she decided that her life and her path was with him. And she feels that love conquers everything. And she'll just, I think that the climax of the song where she sings this line, oh, golden dream for one to love like that. And I get the feeling they eloped, but it's such a romantic, beautiful aria. And I love it the most when Renata Tebaldi, the soprano, sings that. And I think that's the recording I have of the song at home.
And is it a particular hard piece to sing for an opera singer?
I would say everything that Puccini has written is very, very beautiful and good for the voice. But yes, you need to kind of work hard and concentrate and make sure that the notes come out as effortlessly as possible and that you can allow everything to seem floaty and easy whilst working very hard underneath. But I really, it's very rewarding. I mean, the day that I was able to do it, I felt very, very rewarded for all the hard work I'd done. Puccini is very satisfying to sing.
And what is it like actually being on stage performing in front of, you know, a crowd, an audience, and having them listening to every note that you're singing?
It's, for me, the ultimate expression of being alive. I feel most alive when I'm standing on stage and singing because I feel like I'm giving a part of myself. I'm sharing a part of me with people who love music and who want to hear a beautiful story. And I feel very privileged to be in that position, to be telling a story that could potentially change someone's perspective when they hear it and when they experience it. And to be a part of that moment for me is a huge privilege.
Puccini's La Rondine there, and a wonderful piece of music too. For your next track, Victoria, you have chosen a piece of music that I think you have as your alarm call. and something smoothing to wake up to in the mornings, and perhaps a wonderful piece of music. But I wondered why you wanted to change the normal alarm sounds that we have to this wonderful piece of music.
I decided to choose a song that I use for my alarm because I hate alarm clocks. I'm sorry. I think alarm clocks are a pain, and waking up in the morning is a difficult thing, especially if you want to sleep a little bit more. And what better than a nice, persuasive, gentle, soothing sound to lure you peacefully into wakefulness, as opposed to some or anything horrible. It just jolts you into wakefulness when you have a proper alarm. You kind of wake up with a huge like, and that's not a good way to start a day, I think. I feel like it's nice for people to kind of wake up wondering, oh, what's that lovely sound? Oh, it's my alarm. Oh, how lovely. Oh, I can wake up peacefully now. It's going to be a good day, you know, that sort of thing.
And music can certainly take you to calmer places. And I wondered if there have been any times in your life when music has helped you get through perhaps a slightly tricky time at all.
Well, there are lots of times when music has helped me. Most times, okay, I have a huge fear of flying. I don't like takeoff. I can cope better with landing. And a lot of the time I listen to music during takeoff, but I make sure it's something really fast and, you know, that gets you feeling high, like you're in a nightclub or party, because then I can forget that I'm on a plane and it doesn't matter that the plane is kind of ascending because I'm not there. So I can just put my headphones on and listen to the music and forget that we're taking off. And I don't like takeoff.
And you say dance music more than classical music for that?
Yeah, because classical music, well, if I was to pick a classical piece of music that would go with takeoff, I think I'll probably pick Beethoven or, I don't know, something very, very uplifting and fast and loud enough to cover up the sound of the plane. But I feel like at that point, I want some drum beats and everything. So I tend to listen to Taylor Swift's, Shake It Off. Because I'm terrified, I need to shake off the fear. So I listen to Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, or I listen to Little Mix's I've Got the Power. I think it's called Power, the track or something. I listen to that during takeoff.
And I know music has been used in therapy quite a lot, and music therapy can really help people. And I wondered, as a performer, have you ever been involved in any sort of music therapy at all?
Unfortunately not, actually. I haven't been involved in music therapy. I think it's a really good thing to be able to do. When I was starting out my music career, I did work in school as a peripatetic singing teacher. And I think in that situation, I was some form of therapy for the students because they had one-to-one interactions with somebody and they were able to sing, do something that they enjoyed doing and forget about their problems at the time. I would say that's the closest I've gotten to music therapy. Although right now I am training as a psychotherapist, which is something I've always wanted to do alongside my music career. And I'm glad that I have that privilege to explore something like that.
And what is the track that does wake you up as your alarm call, and why have you chosen it for your one of your tracks for Tracks of My Life?
The track that wakes me up in the morning is Méditation by Massenet, and it's from the opera Thace. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's such a beautiful piece of music. I like the fact that it starts really gradually, and I'll tell you how it happens. I wake up in the morning, I can just hear the gentle piano chords, and I'm thinking, what's that? What's that? And then the violin comes in with this very gentle melody that is so beautiful that I then realize that it's my alarm. But then it's not an alarm that's making me irritated or upset from being woken up from a dream or something, but it's something that is luring me to listen further. And if I don't wake up, the track gets louder because that's the way the music goes. So it carries on going and going until the full orchestration joins in. At some point, I have to wake up because it becomes really, really insistent. But it's nicer than an alarm clock.
Meditations from Massenet there, and your alarm call as well, Victoria. The next track you have chosen, Victoria, is one I think that helps to put your life into probably some form of perspective when life certainly throws a few curveballs at you. Have there been moments in your life when you have had a few curveballs thrown at you and, you know, you have been able to get through them through music?
Definitely. There were times when there was a time, I think way back in 2010, I caught a really bad virus and I was coughing a lot. And eventually I lost my voice and I wasn't able to sing for like 6 months. And I couldn't imagine what my life would be like without music. And I thought, what could I do with myself? I needed something to carry on. And turned out, you know, I had I got over the virus eventually, but before that time I was listening to a lot of music, and I found that the song that really got me to put things in perspective was this song titled Ijoba Oru by this Nigerian artist called Lara George. And in this piece she was talking about how everything in life is relative, our life is a journey, and the final destination is there for those who kind of follow the path, you know, the path of being good to themselves and good to their neighbor and showing compassion to each other. And the prayer in that song is, you know, for God not to stop directing her in her choices, so she makes good choices for herself and for the people around her. But I find that piece of music really uplifting in the sense that it reiterates my faith, because I am a Christian and I believe that things happen sometimes for a reason. And at that point I had to stop and say to myself, maybe I needed to rest and maybe I needed not to be working at that time. And just like every other thing, this situation will pass and my voice will come back. And it did.
Because I know, looking back on my life and seeing the ways, you know, sort of the places I've been to and the paths that I've gone down, and certain things have happened in my life which have certainly taken me down a different path. But as you say, I think there is, you know, you are taken down a road in life, and sometimes you come up to a junction and you go one way or the other way. And, you know, have there been moments like that for you where you've sort of thought, oh, well, I'll go down this route instead of that route, and something's come out of it?
Yes. And like I said, you know, my parents wanted me to study law, and I decided to study music. And I'm very glad that I did, because I feel like going to music college did a lot for my personality, my confidence in myself and my self-awareness. I had a lot of one-to-one input with very good tutors who helped me develop both as a person and as a musician. And it was that input that got me to where I am today, where I worked as a musician for a while and decided I wanted to do something else as well as music. Going into psychotherapy was also something that I wanted to do, but didn't at first have the confidence to approach such a change in my life. And I feel like I'm glad that I when the time came and I felt it was the right time, I made that choice.
And what is it about this particular track that, you know, sort of gets you through those curveball moments and maybe puts you on the right track?
It mentions a lot about, it talks a lot about things that we have in life that we depend on, like money, material things, children, friends, family. And it's just constantly reminds you that all these people are a blessing in your life and the things you have are a blessing. But at the end of the day, you face your maker alone, and it's how you have behaved around people around you, the people you care about, and what you've given to the world that is the legacy that you leave behind. And focusing on that is a good way of putting things in perspective when things can feel like there's no end to it.
God's Kingdom there by Lara George. And that time when I think about life and how things change in life, which leads us quite nicely into your next track, Victoria, which is the final track and the one that you might like to pass on that might give hope for the future. What is the track and why have you chosen it?
My last track for the Tracks of My Life interview is Other Side by Beyoncé. It's from her album The Gift, Lion King, The Gift. And the first time I heard this track was actually quite recently, 2019. But I found that during the pandemic, I was listening to this track a lot because people kept dying. And it was just really scary. And I kept thinking, wow, it has become really important who I spend each day with during this pandemic, because I don't know if I'm going to make it. Because nobody's done anything wrong in order to die. You just die because you come in contact with someone who has COVID, and it's really scary. And I think there were words Beyoncé was saying in this track, you know, the storm comes and everything, you know, falls apart. I'd be grateful that I had you in my life. And I wanted to be able to say to myself that the people I have in my life are those that I would like to know were a part of my life. I was grateful to be able to spend the lockdown with my partner and make every day count and keep in touch with my family who were far away, because I really missed them at that point, but we couldn't see each other. The close friends that I have, people that I work with, I was very grateful for every bit of contact that I could have. And cherishing those moments that I shared with the people that were around me felt very important at that point. And I felt like, well, if today comes and then it's my last because I was unfortunate enough to die from COVID, then I want to know that I have given the best of me to all the people that mean a lot to me.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Victoria Oruwari, for sharing your Tracks of My Life with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. It's been really lovely. And I'm also saying thank you for the challenge, because it's gotten me to think a lot.